today as we come to the table.
Whatever the Lord said to him, he said it. I love that. That's, again, an encouragement, a strong encouragement to me. And so we see Moses doing this, and the result was a shining face for God and a witness to the children of Israel. Now, the question for us tonight is, do we have a shining face for God? And the second question would be, is, well, if you don't, how do you get a shining face for God? It's very simple. Spending intimate time with the Lord in His Word and in prayer. If we don't, we're not going to have that, because it comes through that. It's the intimacy in Word, it's the intimacy in worship, it's the intimacy in prayer. That is exactly how we are close to the Lord.
Moses had many incredible encounters with God. He met him at the burning bush, on mountaintops, in the tabernacle, and he was changed every time. That quality time spent in the Lord's presence had an effect on Moses that others could see. And today, Pastor Mark will tell you exactly what that is and how you can have it too. Well, thanks for staying with us today as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Pastor Mark Kirk of Calvary Knoxville. The more time you spend in the Word and in prayer, the more you'll know God intimately. You'll discover His character and His motivation and see His heart for people, but you'll also find that you are transforming. Your joy will be found in Christ, your heart for the lost will increase, and what pains God will pain you. Your actions will begin to reflect who you've spent time with. Before we jump into Exodus, turn in your Bible to 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and join Pastor Mark for the conclusion of his message, A Shining Face and a Veil Removed.
For if what is passing away was glorious, what remains is more glorious. Therefore, since we have such hope, we use great boldness of speech. Unlike Moses, who put a veil over his face, note this, so that, here's why he did it, so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the end of what was passing away. See, he wasn't just keeping them from being afraid. He didn't want them to see that the glory of the law was temporary. It wasn't that he was trying to deceive them. It wasn't that he was trying to trick them. It's just what the Bible reveals is that God was showing through Moses a visible picture to the children of Israel and to us that the glory of the law had its limit. The glory of the law was temporary. The glory of the law brought a glow at its time. And although the law is perfect and although the law is good, none of us can live by the law. So now we have the more glorious law of liberty, Jesus Christ and the cross and salvation through that. The grace of God, see? So this whole thing here, he's hiding what was passing away. He didn't want, it wasn't because he was trying to hide the glow. He was trying to hide the go. He didn't want them to see the glow was disappearing. Verse 14, but their minds were blinded. For until this day, the same veil remains unlifted in the reading of the Old Testament because the veil is taken away in Christ. Remember before you read the Bible, did you understand it? No, there's a veil over your eyes. And now the Jews, when they read the Old Testament, they don't understand it because the only way you can understand it is for the veil to be removed, and the veil can only be removed spiritually through Jesus. When we give our life to Him, now we understand the Bible. When the Jews give their life to the Lord, then they will understand the Bible. But even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil lies on the heart. So the Jews, they have synagogue every week, and they have no idea what it means. I mean, they make their own application interpretation, but they really don't get the spirit of it. Those who don't know the Lord, there's a veil blinding them. That's why the Jews are blinded. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. All right, now you can turn back to Exodus. So the Jews still have this spiritual veil. Through Jesus, this veil is taken away. And I love this because Moses, it says here, was faithful to do. Look at this in verse 34 at the end. He said he spoke to the children of Israel whatever the Lord commanded. I have that underlined. Why? Especially as a pastor, but guys, you guys are going to be tempted to do this as well. What if God puts something in my heart to say that I know would offend somebody in here tonight? I know maybe there's like an issue you've got. And I'm thinking, well, I don't want to get them mad because they might leave the church. I don't want to say this. I never want to be in that place. And you should never be in that place. We have got to be in a place that we say, Lord, whatever you tell me to say, I'm going to say it. Now, we should say it in love, and we should say it with tact. But if we ever get to where we're filtering what we're saying because certain people are here, we're not being faithful to the Lord. Our responsibility is to be faithful to God. Moses was faithful to God, and whatever the Lord said to him, he said it. I love that. That's, again, an encouragement, a strong encouragement to me. And so we see Moses doing this, and the result was a shining face for God and a witness to the children of Israel. Now, the question for us tonight is, do we have a shining face for God? And the second question would be, is, well, if you don't, how do you get a shining face for God? It's very simple. Spending intimate time with the Lord in His Word and in prayer. If we don't, we're not going to have that, because it comes through that. It's the intimacy in Word, it's the intimacy in worship, it's the intimacy in prayer. That is exactly how we are close to the Lord. But you know, as I was going through this and thinking about the veil that blinds the eyes, God put something else on my heart to share with you guys tonight as well. You know, being a prophecy guy, and that's as far as the scripture we're covering tonight, but I have some things I want to share with you here in the last portion of tonight. Because being a prophecy guy, I'm always looking at prophecy, and I'm always looking at what's going on in the world, and in light of scripture, and in light of history, and in light of what God has done. And I felt in my heart tonight there was another veil that needs to be lifted from our eyes in what's going on in our nation and around the world. Because, and this has nothing to do, trust me, with politics, has nothing to do with Republican, Democrat. This is strictly Bible and prophecy and what's happening around the world. And I'm always watching around the world. What is the feel of the world? What is the mood of the world? I know where the world's going. The Bible tells us where the world is going and what's going to be the one world government, the one world monetary system, the one world leader, all these things that are going to happen. But I like watching it unfold. I like watching the pieces come together and kind of seeing the veil lifted. And there's some things that have happened here, especially with this recent election, that just really struck me prophetically in a huge way. And I want to share them with you. You know, I've been following the nation of Israel, and it's quite tumultuous over in Israel right now. As you guys maybe have heard in the news, they've been from the Gaza Strip. They've been lobbing rockets over in Israel a lot again. I didn't know how many. Somebody told me tonight some 120 rockets just yesterday shot from Gaza into Israel. So Israel retaliated today. They took out one of their main leaders, and they're right now, you know, hitting some main areas and maybe even possibly going to do an offensive to deal with some situations over there. But what's interesting is you're going to see the world blame Israel for it. It's the only people or nation really where the enemy can attack them just openly, and if they defend themselves, then they're the problem. It's a very strange phenomena. But we understand it because there's a spiritual battle going on, right? And so I've been watching Israel over the years in what happens in politics in Israel, what happens in our nation politically, what happens in other countries politically, what happens around the world, to watch this thing unfold, because there is going to be a political leader, the Bible says, come up out of Europe. We don't know who he is, and the Bible says actually the church will be raptured out of here before this guy's even revealed. So we will never know who the Antichrist is. You know, some people say, well, who do you think the Antichrist is? We'll never know. The Bible very clearly says that the church is gone before he's revealed. So we don't know who he is. We know he's going to rise up out of Europe, or at least he's going to be a leader based in Europe. And something very significant happened in this last election. Again, I want to just kind of share with you guys, because it's really been very intriguing to me. I've been following the nation of Israel very closely for the last 23 years or so, ever since I gave my life to the Lord. I've had a love for the nation of Israel. I've watched their leaders. I've watched what's going on over there, because I understand scripturally that Israel is God's focal point for the end times. And I've seen a consistent pattern. Note this. I've seen a consistent pattern since I've been in the Lord in the way God deals not only with Israel, but those who interact with Israel as world leaders. And if you ever listen to Signs of the Times, we talk about this ever so often on the show. But I personally believe in this last election, we crossed over a very significant prophetic red line in God's prophetic timetable. And I'm going to explain to you historically why I believe that and why this was so profound to me this last election. Again, I'm not taking sides. I'm not taking a position. I'm simply sharing something that to me is prophetically profound in this whole thing. God said in his word, in the last days, he'd bring Israel back in the land, and that those who blessed them, he would bless, and those who cursed them, he would curse. And I have watched this over the last 20-some years. Every world leader that has blessed Israel has been blessed. The world leaders that have cursed Israel have been cursed. It's exactly the case And I've seen it. I mean, every time that I've paid attention, I've seen it happen, which means that anybody that goes against Israel, God's going to bring them down and remove them. And I've watched God consistently do that. There's more leaders than I'm going to mention tonight, but I've watched God even do it with nations. You know, when Egypt went against Israel, they were the greatest nation in the world at that time, and they've never been a great nation since, and they never will be again, the Bible says. Britain, in World War II, they were the greatest nation in the world. There was a saying, the sun never sets on the British Empire. What they meant is no matter where the daylight is around the earth, you've got British soldiers and you've got British power and the Brits are all around the world. In World War II, when the Jews tried to come back into Israel, the Brits were there stopping the ships. They wouldn't let the Jews come on land. They sent the Jews back to Europe, and some of those Jews went back to the death chambers and the ovens with Hitler. It was right after that Britain went down. They've never been a world power since, and they never will be again. God deals with nations. God deals with individuals. I've watched this over and over and over. And historically, go back, do your homework. It's really astounding. Germany, they were the greatest power in the world at that time until God raised up a Jewish man, Oppenheimer, who created the atomic bomb and, of course, then used America to stop the war. But Germany was, they were unstoppable had it not been for that. They were going to take all of Europe over. And then Europe coming against us, who knows what it would have been like. We'd probably been speaking some other language today. But again, because of that, Germany was brought down. Where's Germany today? I mean, they still exist like Britain and like Egypt, but they're not a world power and they never will be again. This is how God deals with nations that go against Israel. I've watched this historically. I've watched it with individuals. But the Bible says in the last days, there's going to be a prophetic point where God's going to allow those who go against Israel to prosper. In other words, God's going to, up to a certain point, God hadn't allowed it. But at the very end, God's going to allow so much so that when the Antichrist comes into power, the Bible says he will go against the nation of Israel. He will put them to death and he will prosper. He'll be murdering Jews, it says, by the millions. How do we know that? Because the Bible says it's going to be the worst time in Jewish history. It'll be the worst. It's called the time of Jacob's trouble. So one of the prophetic things is to watch God now taking down nations, taking down individuals, and then all of a sudden to be watching for God to allow nations, because it says all nations will turn against Israel in the last days, and then to allow individual world leaders to rise up and have power who go against Israel. To me, that's a major, major prophetic turn, and I believe we've seen that happen. Let me just share a little bit more here about what I'm talking about. If you look back at the recent leaders who had world power impact, and a lot of people have not liked Israel, these has to be, I'm talking about world leaders who have the power to affect the land and nation of Israel, not just any leader, not just any person. It has to be world leaders who have the authority and the power to affect them. Those are the ones that I've watched, and I've watched God be faithful to deal with them. God said, I'll bless those who bless you, I'll curse those who curse you. And again, the results are undeniable. I went back just to 1992 to walk you through the prime ministers of Israel. And through President Bush, and then into our current leadership, to share some of this with you, because again, to me, it's profound from a prophetic viewpoint. Yitzhak Rabin was, again, the prime minister in 1992. He was the first world leader to give up partial control of the land of Israel, Gaza Strip, and what we call the West Bank to the Palestinians. Shortly after that, what happened to him? He was assassinated. Their next leader who took over, we would call it like the vice president after Rabin's assassination, was Shimon Peres. Shimon Peres finished out the term of Rabin, but he also supported the power and the land being turned over to the Palestinians and lost the election and was removed as well to Benjamin Netanyahu. He's now been elected twice. Benjamin Netanyahu was then elected for his first term and in 1997 signed what was called the Hebron Protocol, which gave the Palestinians control of Hebron. And in the very same year that he turned Hebron over to the Palestinians, he was put out of office. Why? Scandals. All these scandals raised up all of a sudden, the very same year, all these scandals came up about him. He had all these accusations and these legal things. He was forced out of office. That was his first time in. Next, he was replaced by Ehud Barak, who met with Arafat at Camp David, and basically gave, some say, as much as 98% of Arafat's demands to give back the West Bank and all the other things. And Arafat wanted the other 2% and didn't agree to the agreement. And so it fell through. Shortly after that, he was removed and defeated by the next man. He was taken out. He didn't win the election. Ariel Sharon won the next election. Maybe you remember Ariel Sharon. He's the one who in 2003 famously forced the Jewish settlers out of the Gaza Strip, soldiers going in and taking their own people out, land that God had given them. in an attempt to give the Palestinians their own homeland by pressure from the United States, and remember the Quartet and all these others that were trying to get them to give land up. Shortly after that, he had an aneurysm and went into a coma. He's still in a coma today in Israel, somewhat 6 or 7 years later. I don't know how long it's been. 2003 is longer than that, isn't it? I don't think he had the coma maybe in 2003, but shortly after that. Next was Ehud Olmert, who took over to finish Ariel Sharon's, again, kind of like the vice president thing. He continued on in Ariel Sharon's move, turning over the West Bank land to the Palestinians. And in 2006, he tried to help them gain their own homeland in Israel. Right after he did that, I remember watching. I remember telling, listen, we were doing the show. Here's what's amazing to me. With Ariel Sharon and with Ehud Olmert, I predicted live on the air. I said, they're done. I said, Ariel Sharon's done. He just gave up part of the land that God said he's given to Israel. God will remove him. He's done. He was removed shortly after that. Because people, oh! I said, look, I'm not a prophet. I just understand God's word, and I know what God does. I've been watching this for years. So then Ehud Olmert got in. What did he do? He started pushing the same agenda. I remember staying on the show. Greg and I talked about it. I said, he's done. Ehud Olmert, next election, he's done. He didn't even make it to the next election. He had scandals rise up around him. He was forced out of office. So Ehud Olmert was gone as well. During this time, President Bush, in his second term at this point, had a 70% approval rating. Not only in America, but the world loved him. He was a very popular leader around the world, and Americans loved him. That's when he came out with the announcement of a two-state solution for the Palestinians in Israel and pushing Israel to give land up. I told Greg, I said, he's done. He can't be put out because he's already elected for the second term. I said, but he's not ever going to have any influence. He's done. Immediately, his popularity, if you go back and look at the records after that, he fell from 70% down to 30% popularity. And he left office with not only being very unpopular in America, but the world didn't like him. He's still the brunt of jokes today. He still gets blamed for the problems of today. Why do you think that is? I think it's because he went against Israel. God said in Genesis 12:3, those who bless you, I'll bless. Those who curse you, I'll curse. God's true to his word. Last year, and this has nothing to do with politics at all, but last year, when President Obama started actively going against Israel, he started standing against them. He started saying he wanted to go back not only for them to give land up. He said he wanted to go back to the 1967 borders, which makes Israel at one point 8 miles across. Try to defend that. Can you imagine a fighter jet? You couldn't get out of second gear. And you'd be in somebody else's nation. And when he did that, I said on the radio, President Obama's done. He won't win a second term. I said, I've been following this for 20-some years. Every person who's fought against the land of Israel has been removed. I was wrong. Had nothing to do with me not wanting President Obama to win. Had nothing to do with any of that. This has nothing to do with politics or a position. I just have been following this for a long time. And when he won, I said right then, we have crossed a prophetic line. Because God just allowed a man who's actively against the nation of Israel and even their land to get reelected. And that means we're that much closer to the nations being able to move against Israel and be prosperous, and eventually this world leader out of Europe, whoever that is, to rise up and not only go against Israel, but prosper. So understand, this has nothing to do with our president. This has to do with a prophetic line that I want you guys to be aware of. I want that veil lifted. I believe we have crossed a prophetic red line where God, for the first time since I've been a believer, has allowed a world leader with the power to do something against Israel, to do it, and still remain in office. I've never seen that before. So I can't make any more predictions on the radio. Maybe God just did that to show him that I'm not a prophet. I believe, guys, we have entered into a time that has brought us that much closer to the end. I mean, a lot of people are going through a lot of different emotions, depending on where you stand with the election. I've seen people on both sides and a lot of different emotions. I'm not going to get into that. But I'm going to say this, no matter where you stand, if you're a believer, you should be getting excited. Because as we look at what is happening around the world, and we look at, I believe, a new shift that I've never seen, and I'm not that old in the Lord, but something I've never seen in my short walk with the Lord, God allowing someone to remain in power that's actively against Israel? I've never seen that. I mean, I'm still kind of going, wow, Lord, where are we? What's going on? And I'm getting excited. This is not a time to be sad. It's not a time to worry. It's a time to realize, you know, the other day I was reading the Word of God, and I think that the reason we get worried about things sometimes, and we get worried about whether it's our nation or whether it's our family or whether it's our friends or wherever, whatever it might be, we hold on to things so tightly we're afraid to lose them. Guys, the Bible says, blessed is the man whose heart is set on pilgrimage. And God spoke to my heart the other day in reading that and said, Mark, your heart needs to, you don't belong here. Now you need to live to the fullest while you're here and be my witness and all that, but you don't belong here. Don't hold on to this country. Don't hold on to this world. You hold on to me and I'll take care of the details. I remember years ago, and if the movie's bad, don't fault me for it. Again, this goes back to the BC days. But I remember watching a movie called Mr. Mom. Maybe some of you guys saw it. And it was where this guy lost his job and the wife had to go out and get a job. And so he's home now being the dad and doing all this and all this kind of stuff. And of course, all I remember are some of the funny scenes of it. But I remember there was this one scene with his son, and his son had this little blanket that he loved so much. He called it his whoopee. And they needed to get rid of the whoopee. It's time to let go of the whoopee. The whoopee is temporary. You're going to have to grow up one day and get a job and live life. So at some point, the whoopee's got to go. And he's talking to him. He's like, you know what? You know, son, I mean, it starts with a whoopee. It moves to a blanket, and then you're copping quilts in the street. I mean, you got to let this go, okay? You know, you got to, right? And so his son, and you see his son there kind of sad and crying and all this, and he didn't want to get rid of his whoopee, and it's so sweet. He goes, okay, Dad, and he gives his whoopee up, right? I think some of us hold on to this world and America as our spiritual whoopee. Whatever your viewpoint is, if you think your country's died or you think your country's now finally alive, wherever you're coming from and your whatever your viewpoint is, we're just pilgrims. This isn't our home. We don't belong here. We are here as messengers to tell everybody we can that Jesus loves them and that there's a much greater in heaven waiting on us. And I believe because of what I've watched in the world and what I've seen even in this recent election, as I just shared, I think we're that much closer. It's a time to be excited. It's a time to recognize that the world is falling into place exactly the way the Lord said it would in the last days. And guys, I believe before too long, we're going home. So you're pilgrims, let go of your whoopee. And let's just be on fire for the Lord, glowing for Him with the time we've got left. Amen? Let's pray. Father, that is our desire. We want to take the time we have left to glow for You. We want to glow and go. And we want to be used by You, Lord, in power. We want to be witnesses for You. This is not our world. We don't belong here. This is not our country. It belongs to You. We are Yours. We belong to a heavenly country. We belong to a kingdom that's in the heavenlies. That's where we belong. And so, Lord, I just pray in the name of Jesus that You would help us to let go of all this. Yes, Lord, to stand for what we believe in. Yes, Lord, to fight for freedom. Yes, Lord, to do what's right. But to realize that we are just passing through pilgrims in temporary tents, living here just long enough, Lord, to be Your witness and to be Your ambassadors, to tell people about You so they can join us in the kingdom of God. That is our desire, Lord. That is who we are. That is who we need to be. Let our face shine for You. Fill us with Your Spirit. Let us be those who spend time with You in the word and prayer on the mountaintop so that when we come down every day, we can be glowing like Moses and we can be leading other people, Lord, to Your glory and telling them about the heavenly kingdom that awaits in Your glory. And Father, we thank You, Lord.
And just like that, another time at the table of God's Word has come to an end. Maybe you've heard these things mentioned in the book of Exodus before, or perhaps you're hearing it for the first time. Exodus is one of those books where it's undeniable, observing God's power and might in what He does through His people and for His people. Pastor Mark will continue teaching through the book of Exodus next time, but you don't have to wait until then to listen to more great Bible studies. You can access this series, plus much more, at thewaymedia.net. Feel free to share these messages with anyone who wants to know more about what the Bible has to say. You can also download the Way Media app to access teachings as they're available. Before we close, we want you to know that if you live in the Knoxville area, you're invited to join Pastor Mark in the community of Jesus followers at Calvary Knoxville for our next service. For over 20 years, it's been incredible to see how God has used us in our local community. And through this radio outreach, there's always a seat for you. Sunday mornings at 8, 9:30, or 11:15. We also meet on Sunday nights at 6 or Wednesday nights at 7. If you can't make it in person, that's not a problem. You can join us online. We're streaming our services through the Way Media app. To find more info on Calvary Knoxville, scroll to the bottom of thewaymedia.net for a link to our church website. Pastor Mark has more to share from the book of Exodus, so be sure to join us the next time we come to the table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.